pre-recorded version of the WTKA Roundtable on WTKA, unsurprisingly, 9 o'clock Thursdays. It is recorded, though, so if you call in, nobody will answer you.
Folks, here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTKA.com. Want to remind you the bid in our ticket auction is up to $260. Tickets to this Saturday's game between Michigan and Wisconsin, Section 40, Row 50, Seats 6 and 7, plus a couple of passes to the Golabat Blue Victor's Lounge. Let's make it happen, folks. All the proceeds go to Making Strides Against Breast Cancer. More specifically, you know, the proceeds go to the 60-mile stride. Now, the proceeds from the 60-mile stride go to Making Strides Against Breast Cancer, but here is why I make that distinction. The proceeds from these tickets go to the 60-mile stride. Matt Spaulding walking the 60 miles from downtown Flint to the corner of Stadium in Maine. He's going to do that walk in one day. He's going to begin it Friday at the end of our show, tomorrow at the end of our show, and then walk into Saturday. And he is looking for support, looking for donors to donate to the cause, donate to Making Strides Against Breast Cancer. We've had Suburban Chevrolet Cadillac in Ann Arbor step forward and say, hey, we will match every dollar you raise up to the $50,000 mark. And we had another generous donors step up and say, hey, until noon today, until noon Thursday, I will match every dollar raised up to $5,000. So basically what that means is if you're bidding on these tickets, these tickets and these Golabat Blue Victor's Lounge passes, your donation to the American Cancer Society will be tripled.
Are we ending the bidding at 10? The bidding ending at 10, or are we going later today?
You want to go later? You want to go later, Ira?
Would you like to go till, pick a time? Tell me. Pick one.
Well, see, I'm going to
no pressure.
So I'm going to be out. You tell me what works for you. I'm going to be out at Bullion Sales from noon until 2 today. Their Drive Green event is going on as we speak. And what are they doing for their Drive Green event? Every John Deere in stock must go. Deep discounts on numerous John Deere tractors. And they are supporting the 60-mile stride as well. Every tractor sold during the Drive Green Bullion event, they're going to donate to the bricks to the big house walk, the 60-mile stride. Lawn and garden tractors, they're going to donate $50. Utility tractors sold, they're going to donate $100. Utility vehicles sold, they're going to donate $75. So how about this, Ira?
2 p.m.
2 p.m. Auction goes until 2 p.m. So we're stretching it out for you. We're going to give you the opportunity to really push the value of these tickets up because it's for a great
The bidding
great
is now at $400.
Wow. Wow. Bidding is up now to $400. $400 for the pair of tickets to Michigan versus Wisconsin, Section 40, Row 50, Seats 6 and 7, plus a few passes to the Golabat Blue Victor's Lounge. And that is going to be tripled, folks. That's going to be tripled. So that's like a $1,200 donation to Making Strides against breast cancer. Let's keep it going. You can email us at studio@wtk.com. You can tweet your bids in at Michigan Insider. You can give us a call at 734-998-1050. With that, want to welcome the MGO Blog Roundtable. This is right on time. Right on time. As we have Brian Cook from MGO Blog. Brian, how you doing?
I am on time.
You sure are. You sure are. As I just got to the round table.
It's of course, just a cover story.
It is not.
It's just a cover story.
It is not.
He was hanging out with Tom Waits all night drinking Sterno.
Well, folks,
he didn't crawl in here today.
He didn't crawl.
We were supposed to be out at Suburban Chevrolet Cadillac in Ann Arbor, and, of course, the weather knocked out the power, so the show came back over here, and the crew had to make it back over here. And so they were gracious enough to, you know, sprint over here, and that's what Brian Cook just did. He sprinted over here through the torrential downpour just to be on the air to talk to you guys.
It would have killed the lesser man.
It surely would have. And that voice you hear is none other than Craig Ross. Craig, good morning. How are
you? How are you guys doing?
Brian, how you doing?
Good.
Doing all right?
Yes.
Feeling better about Wilton Spate this week?
A little.
A little better?
But not as much as you might hope.
Okay. Well, you know, was it Marcus Ray that said, hey, he's a poor man's Ben Roethlisberger?
Oh, gosh. I mean, that is a comparison that's reasonable to make since he is about that size and he has that ability to avoid sacks in the pocket while not being particularly mobile. So, yeah, that's a good comparison.
All right, Ed Fang, how are you this morning?
I'm good. I think that's hilarious.
So, as we break down this game, let's look at it, you know, from a broader perspective of if you look at Michigan, Penn State in a vacuum, it really doesn't say a whole lot about how good Michigan is, does it? But when you look at it in addition to the rest of the season, you look at what Colorado just did going out to Oregon and winning that game, don't we feel?
With the backup quarterback.
With the backup quarterback who was really good, threw for over 300 yards, rushed for over 100 yards. Don't we feel that much better about Michigan now?
Well, I mean,
in the aftermath of what transpired last weekend?
I mean, I feel like the Penn State game did say something because I felt like the way that we, Penn State didn't get anything passing where they had thrown the ball for the first three games. So that either Penn State's first three games were a fluke, or
that's right.
You guys liked
their quarterback. You liked him sorely, right?
And he didn't do anything against what I think is a very good pass defense. I mean,
he did almost complete a really awesome lob in the end zone when he had no other options. I thought that was a good play, but he did nothing.
Yeah. I mean, his biggest plays were like little dumps to
Saquon Barkley.
Yeah. So, I mean, two things that I did take away from this game is there weren't any busts. So on defense, you didn't see anyone running wide open. And that was like a big key after the first 3 weeks of the season where they're learning the new system and you want to see them progress and have a better idea of what their jobs are. And I think that was mission accomplished. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is that I thought all four of the running backs looked real good, especially Higdon, who came out of nowhere and had like a lot of little tough runs. I love how he changes angles when he's running so that people are hitting him from the side.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy who really runs behind his pads, and what people mean by that is he runs a little to the ground, he bounces off people, and he did that several times, I thought.
He's stronger than I had imagined.
Yeah, he's a little dude, but he's a tough inside runner. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think he's gotten stronger than last year. I feel like he fell over on first contact pretty easily last year.
Well, he just got buried in the back. Like, he only had like 13 carries, and most of them were like he had guys he was dodging in the backfield, and he had one good run against Northwestern. He had one of those like just shallow cuts where he's going at one angle and he decides to change it a little bit, and that's enough to get by guys or get yards after contact.
But how much of it do you think was the offensive line actually making some of those seams and making the running backs look better?
Well, it's partially that. It's also partially the fact that Penn State's linebackers were down to a little goat at middle linebacker. No, not like a goat, like an actual goat. That's what I mean by that statement. Obviously having the opportunities is there, but you know, I just thought that they made yards on their own. Like that Devion Smith like bounce out where he presses the hole and convinces the linebackers that he's going inside. And this is like on third and one. And then he just cuts outside for like 30 yards. I was like, that's what I've been asking to see from him for a long time now.
I think he's been good this year. I think Devion's been good this
year. Yeah, I agree. You know, what impressed me was against Colorado, because primarily their nose guard, we had a hard time running it inside. So we abandoned it early and just killed them to the edges of the field. In this game, when we ran to the edges of the field, it wasn't a success, but we adjusted and we were immediately able to just gash them inside routinely. So what's heartening to me is the ability or the genius of this coaching staff to find what seems to be available or work in any individual game. It's going to be more of a challenge this week, but usually it seems like coaches are sluggish to figure it out. This coaching staff figures it out right away,
well,
it seems like.
You know, I think that was always going to happen because one of the things that I picked up from reading Penn State blogs in the week leading up to the game is that they were terrified of jet sweeps. Like they had been awful at jet sweeps all year,
and they've
been like,
great the prior week.
Right, so I was like, you know what, the first jet sweep we get is going to be a 5-yard tackle for loss. Yeah. Lo and behold, and then of course they have the decoy with Peppers and Devion's wide open up the middle of the field for like 40 yards. So I think, you know, they did some of the stuff on the edge, but they went away from it for the most part because they knew this was a team that had probably been coached the entire week to get out on those. So yeah. You know. He's a good poker player, Jim Harbaugh is. Like, he's going to anticipate what you're going to do, and he's going to not – he's going to stick and move, basically.
He also is a good impression. See, I mean, he can do a good – I mean, James Earl Jones, I don't know if you heard it yesterday.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he can do impressions, man.
Is that on the board yet, Ira? Or is...
Yeah, he was on the answer. Ira, and when you get a chance, pull up Jim Harbaugh's impression of James Earl Jones. If you can, I appreciate that. These guys don't believe that he's part Frank Caliendo, but nice. We heard that from him. You know what? Well, I took from that whole exchange? He's feeling pretty good. He's feeling pretty good.
That's the impression I got, and I was up late last night. I watched the Wisconsin-Michigan State game two or three times. And
how could you stomach that game two or three times?
It's
a 30-6 Michigan State loss.
Yeah, that's true. But
the
I'm,
end.
But I'm trying to see what Wisconsin is doing as best I can. And boy, I watched that Wisconsin team. That defense is a monster. And yeah. and yet all week Harbaugh seemed relaxed, having fun. So anyway,
While we're talking about Harbaugh, I do want to bring up that he went for it on fourth down four times in this game, which is absolutely the right call in every single one of those situations.
I mean,
I love the aggressiveness.
I don't know if that was by choice.
What do you mean?
I was watching the kicker warm up, and he was putting it wide and shortish from 38 yards. So I kind of feel like he was looking at his kicker, and he's like, not going to happen.
So
interesting.
But he also went for a fourth down at the goal line, fourth and one?
He did.
You can kick that.
Yeah, but he went for a fourth and seven, and they were up. At that point, they were up 21-0. But that's the drive where they started it out. Mm-hmm. It was like five straight. It was the same play start the drive. And as much as maybe it is about the kicker, it's about, man, these guys can't stop us.
So
how do they end up getting the first down? Well, Wood Spade on the scramble. They got a first down that way.
There's nothing boilerplate about this offense. I mean, it always seems, I don't know what the word, protean.
Craig Ross, come on, man.
It always seems protean.
This is sports radio.
That is, he always drops at least one word a show, doesn't he? All right, guys, before we go to the break, not only are you going to laugh at what he says, but Brian, you're going to love the other part of what Jim Harbaugh says here. This is from Sam Webb's 101 with Jim Harbaugh the other day.
I think people were really impressed with the Michigan game day atmosphere. I always am, so I know, and they are, because they talk about it, that really haven't seen anything like it, because I think most stadiums you go to, it's not as genuine. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of crap music pumped in. There's a lot of, you know, laser shows and different kind of things like that. Not at our stadium. It is, it's el natural, you know, and people are just, you know, loud, and they're wearing the colors, and that provides all the colors you want to see. And then I've been noticing every game, too, when the man comes out on the loudspeaker and you are at, in attendance of the largest crowd anywhere in the country, 110,000. I think that's pretty impressive.
I think it is, too. I'm curious.
I think they like it, too, when James Earl Jones is on the intro video. You know, this is the University of Michigan. Then my favorite part. We are the best university in the world.
Students
and athletes and professors achieving at the highest level.
I don't know if I'm talking to Jim Harbaugh or Frank Caliendo, man. He was in a good mood.
Yeah, no kidding.
He was in a good mood. Yeah. I guess he can't hear the 5-10 music, though.
And Ira knew that would warm your heart.
Oh, yes,
I told you, Brian.
I told you.
He started blushing. He's like,
That's why I left the beginning part of that whole thing in. I could have gone right to the impression, but I thought Brian would want to hear the other part.
He's a smart man, Jim Harbaugh.
9:24 on a Thursday. Bid on those tickets. to Michigan, Wisconsin, Section 40, Row 50, Seats 6 and 7, plus two Go the Bat Blue Victor's Lounge passes. That bid is up to $400. Every dollar donated up to noon will be tripled, folks. So whether it's bidding on these tickets or going to our webpage at WTK.com, clicking that 60-mile stride tab, and then donating directly, every dollar donated will be tripled up until noon. The auction will go on until 2. Let's keep making it happen. Got to get to a break. Back on the other side with more MGO Blog Roundtable here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, the ticket. And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTKA.com. Sam Webb and Ira Weintraub on the other side of the glass. Fantasy football fans, if you're playing season-long fantasy football, you're missing out. You're just not doing it. You're not having as much fun as you could be having. You certainly aren't making the kind of money you could be making because you aren't playing 1 week fantasy football on FanDuel, FanDuel.com. FanDuel's 1 week fantasy football contest just can't be beat, and they have offered you now expanded opportunities. They have new contests now for beginners only. So you newbies out there that maybe were intimidated about fantasy football, competing against people that have been doing it for years, don't worry. They have beginner-only contests. Then they have the bigger tournaments for more experienced players. Just choose your contest, pick your team, and win. They have leagues starting for as little as $1. Setting up a lineup is easy. You get a $60,000 cap. They assign dollar values to each player, and then you fit your guys under the cap. And you are not precluded from taking, you know, let's say Brian Cook is a guy I want on my team.
Yeah.
And let's say Craig Ross wants him as well. We both can sign or put Brian Cook on our roster.
You can have him.
It's all about the best roster management on FanDuel.com. And this week, don't miss FanDuel's Sunday Million Tournament, paying out at least $1 million in prizes. And of course, we have our FanDuel Listener League. You can find that at FanDuel.com/1050. Now, I haven't checked this morning to see if the league is full or it's we opened it up to 250 participants. Last week, it was full by Thursday afternoon. So check it out and see. If you don't get in this week, don't worry. Every week is a new season. The league will open up again next week. But there are plenty of other leagues that you can join, even if ours is closed off this week. You newbies out there, you folks who haven't tried FanDuel yet, try FanDuel now and get up to $50 in free entries. New users who deposit will get 5 free entries to NFL 50-50 beginner contests valued at up to $50. You'll get 1 free entry a week for 5 weeks. The value of free entries varies based on deposited amount. Go to FanDuel.com, click the Join Now button, and use our promo code 1050. That's FANDUEL.com, promo code 1050. And Ed, you need to, I'm going to need your help, man. I've been getting bludgeoned so far this year.
What? You?
In our listener league. Yeah, man.
All right.
And this is after having a great year last year. But, you know, things have been pretty volatile this year when it comes to some of the big name guys and
sure,
them not really producing. So well, I need some power rank in my life when
well,
it comes to.
Well, you need some contrarian thinking.
Okay.
So we talk about that.
Well, I tell you what, I wouldn't look at Michigan State, Indiana as a pick 'em without looking at the power rank. But that's where you have them, right?
That is where I have them. So I mean, you look at Michigan State. So with my numbers after week four, I can actually start just evaluating teams from this year, strength of schedule, only looking at 4 weeks. And I mean, when you look at what Michigan State has done, I mean, they obviously didn't lose to Wisconsin. The Notre Dame win doesn't look very good right now, and that was only an 8-point win. And
they were terrible against Furman.
Yeah, they were terrible against Furman. Yeah, I have that game at a pick 'em. Tyler O'Connor looked awful against Wisconsin. I don't know how else to put it. I know he had a good game against Notre Dame, although, you know, he did basically throw a pick that ended up being a touchdown as one of their touchdowns in that game.
Also, Notre Dame's defense, ugh.
Yeah. I mean, I think Michigan State's defense is good. I think their secondary is better, or at least they look better in the Wisconsin game than I expected them to look. A lot of guys returning.
Although Reschke is probably out this week. I don't know if there are other Bolas out this week, too.
Yeah.
Though I don't know, maybe Ed Davis is back in his ninth year.
Right.
That is true.
So, yeah, so that's kind of it's kind of a surprising result from some of my numbers. But, yeah, I got a pretty close game between Indiana.
You know, as much as and Tyler O'Connor, he threw three interceptions. He was bad. But there are plenty of culprits in that game.
Sure.
When you agree when it comes to Michigan State lost that game going away.
L.J. Scott, who's a fine player, I mean, fumbled the ball ended up for one. I mean, that game was 13-6 Wisconsin with Michigan State driving when Scott fumbled and turned it around to a 26 game. And then they had the punter drop a ball, which led to a 3-yard touchdown march for Wisconsin, right. and Scott missed a block on a blitz, completely fanned, and quarterback got flattened and gave the ball to Wisconsin at about the 25. So really, I mean, that was a 10-6 game with Michigan State just blowing themselves up.
And right before the L.J. Scott fumble that really kind of sealed the game, yeah. Demetrius Cox had both hands on a pick deep in Wisconsin's zone, which could have really changed that game.
So how good do you guys think Wisconsin is?
I think their defense is very good. I think their offense is handleable. I mean, they don't really have a lot of speed. Jess Peavy's okay, but the Wheelwright kid's not that fast.
Their tight end's good.
Tight end's good. I don't really think that much about their backs right now. And they have some injury issues on their offensive line, so their starting center last week was a sophomore who was really, really bad. So if that guy is still playing, if they don't get their injured players back, they're going to be in trouble. Also, they are maybe not going to have a kicker.
Hey, they got that senior kid that kicked for the first time last week, right?
Endicott, is that right?
Yeah, but they played that game like they had no faith in him, and they didn't have him kick that field goal until they're up 27-6. So he still never really made a pressure kick. He missed an extra point. So that
was that the kid that missed the extra point? I thought that was their other kicker.
No.
Same kid.
Okay. So the other kicker was out all last week, and they don't know if he's going to be back. The only downside to that is they kind of made some correct game theory decisions as a result, so they kept going for it on 4th and 1.
Mm-hmm.
So they might do that and have one of those like 17 play touchdown drives. But we know what Wisconsin's offense is going to do against a pretty good defense. They had about 300 yards against LSU. They had about 300 yards against Michigan State.
So let's focus on quarterback from Bart Houston. To this retro freshman, and that was one of the reasons why I picked. I don't know who you guys picked last week between Michigan State and Wisconsin. I picked Michigan State based in large part on the fact that Wisconsin was going in there with a retro freshman quarterback. It's just
completely
no way
reasonable.
They're going to go in there with this guy and win in East Lansing, and they did. Give me your thoughts on him as a player.
But you got to look at his throws. So he made some incredible throws, but he was threading the ball into double and triple coverage, and I don't know if he can keep that up. I mean, Tyler O'Connor, Michigan State's quarterback, tried that and was not successful because he wasn't pinpoint accurate. And I think this Wisconsin offense has been really interesting since the beginning of last year because they haven't been able to run the ball like they usually have. So they've been relying on Joel Stave and then Bart Houston and now this Hornibrook guy. And can they keep that up against Michigan's defense? I have my doubts about that.
Relying on Joel Stave, that's just not words you want to hear.
Right, exactly. But they couldn't really run the ball last year, and it doesn't look like it's changed through four games this year. They're running against Akron and Georgia State.
If they get healthy on the offensive line, I think that they'll be a bigger threat because they've had a lot of guys wash out of that program in the last few years, so they have a pretty good starting five, but it drops off very quickly after that, and they've had some issues earlier this year. Hornibrook found the weak spot in the Michigan State defense, which is Demetrius Cox, who's terrible. He gave up 7 of 8 completions on targets in his zone, and that was most of their passing offense. I have a clip from last year where he's going up against Amara Darbo, and he just turns around and starts running towards the end zone as Amara Darbo stops and looks around to see if anyone's going to cover him. I mean, Michigan State has some pieces, but they also have some big flashing weak points. And I don't think Michigan has that. I don't think Michigan has that one safety who you're going to be like, this is the guy to go after. So Hornibrook had all these third down conversions. They were all at Cox. And then he manages to jump a route and almost picks it off, but then, of course, he drops it.
Right, that was the 8th.
Yep, that was the target. That was the 8th. That was number 8. Everything else that was thrown at Cox was a completion. So I don't think they're going to have a big flashing throw-at-me target in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't see Wisconsin running the ball against us.
No.
I just don't see it happening. And so I think they're going to be stuck with some third and longs or having to throw up more than they might otherwise want to. I was surprised. Hornibrook, when you watch him throw, has a really ugly release, and it's very slow, and the ball doesn't seem to have a lot of zip. But on the other hand, it always seemed to get there, and he did seem to hit the windows pretty well. Now, and I think he's going to be playing with more pressure in his face, and I think he's going to be playing against a much better secondary than what Michigan State has. I think it's going to be hard for Wisconsin to move the ball a lot. I don't see him scoring a lot of points unless we turn it over.
Well, and they're not going to score a lot of points simply because they're not going to get that many possessions. Both teams play super, super slow. Yeah. And so each team get 10 possessions over the game, maybe?
Maybe.
Yeah, one of the things I was struck, and there's a lot of respect for Wisconsin on both lines. Defensively, their entire front seven is just lights out, especially their linebackers are lights out. But a lot of respect to their defensive line. Offensive line getting a lot of praise as well. You guys talked about them not running the ball really effectively, and that struck a chord with me in that Michigan State game because outside of Malik McDowell, no one on that front is really striking fear in me, and yet they really stymied the Wisconsin run game. But for a few runs, maybe the touchdown that Clement scored, getting outside the defense, but I think by and large, but didn't he have like less than 60 yards rushing in that game?
Yeah, I think he had 56, 55.
Yeah, they did not run the football.
Back was a little more effective than Clement.
Michigan, you're going to come in with more depth, and you got to worry about guys across the front, not just Ryan Glasgow in the middle.
Well, Wisconsin also had 4 yards per carry against Georgia State. So is it Michigan State's defense or is it Wisconsin's offense? We don't know.
Yeah, I just don't think Wisconsin has had the running game they've had in the past. I think you're going against a run defense that's basically a wall, and I think it's going to be very, very difficult for them to run it against Michigan. I don't see it. On the other side of the ball, it's a whole different thing. Brian pointed out last week that Wisconsin runs a 3-4. They actually have a nose guard who looks a lot like Tupa. But he's not as good as Tupa. I mean, he's like a 6'1", 6'2", 330-pound guy. His name is Sagapole, I think, or Sagapole.
So another poly guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he is a load against the run. They pull him whenever they can on pass downs because he's not very mobile. He's not a pass rusher. But he really is a tough guy to block against the run. And then you throw in those four linebackers who are just all good. Cishi, who I hadn't heard of until this year, is good. Watt's brother, whatever his name is, another Watt.
TJ
Watt is phenomenal. And then Vince Beagle is probably as good a linebacker as there is. I mean, he does have the world's worst haircut, but I don't think that helps. In fact, I had a Beagle who was a dog who had the same haircut, I think. But he hasn't. That guy can play football, and he's going to be tough for us. And they blitz out of the 3-4. You never quite know where the pressure's coming from generally because that's typical with the 3-4. But when they do blitz, it gave Michigan State fits. They couldn't cover it.
Yeah, this is by no question the best defense Michigan has played.
And maybe will play all year.
But I also think this is probably the best offense Wisconsin has gone up against so far this year.
Yeah, because Michigan State can't throw the football, and we know LSU can't throw the football.
No, LSU can't do anything. And Georgia State has also done, like, I think their other non-conference tomato can is, like, number 47 or something in yards. So everybody else is, like, 90th or below. So they've had an influence on that, of course. But, this is not, the Michigan State offense. It's not the LSU offense. There's actually someone plotting and planning behind it instead of just eating grass.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will say this, though. Regardless of what the teams that Wisconsin has beaten thus far, regardless of what they aren't capable of, even with those limited approaches, I thought both LSU and Michigan State would beat Wisconsin. My preseason outlook for the Badgers has been turned on its ear. I thought that schedule was murderer's row, and it was going to claim them, and it's done anything but.
Yeah, I mean, they
give Paul Chris credit.
Everybody had Wisconsin at like 8-5 or 8-4.
I don't think I gave them that. Yeah. I don't even think I gave them 8-4.
Well, everybody looked at that murderer's row of a schedule. Yeah. I mean, the thing that kind of jumps out to me, though, is that this line opened at -9, which is a lot. Yeah. And then it immediately went to 10.5. So
people saw that line and they piled in on it. And now it's just kind of steady there. And it's 10.5 is a big number.
Yeah.
Yeah. My member numbers have about 13, which I think is a little high.
Yeah, I have Michigan winning this game, but I don't have them. I have it being less than a 10-point, you know, difference.
I mean, it's going to be a slugfest. Like, that's a big line, especially because I feel this is like a 21-13 kind of game. Like, yeah. Just the points aren't going to come from many places unless it's special teams and defense. So that's another area where I think Michigan has a huge advantage because Jabril Peppers exists. I mean, we'll see about Kenny Allen, but if they don't have their kicker, I mean, it's just going to be a lot of punting. So
and it could be wet. I don't know.
I expect it to be. It's supposed to rain until Sunday. Yeah. You know, based on the forecast we've been, relaying over the air that it's going to be wet for some portions of tomorrow's game. Yeah. So we'll see what impact that has. But I also want you guys' take, and we'll get to this on the other side, your take on the rest of college football, because I mentioned some of the, Michigan State falling like they did to Wisconsin was only one of the games that kind of made you raise your eyebrow. Certainly Colorado going into Oregon. Notre Dame.
I think Notre Dame's really interesting because you're going to find out how much of the problems with their defense was the coordinator and how much is just a decimated secondary.
Scapegoating to the nth degree is what happened right there.
Yep. Wait. Van Gorder hasn't had an elite unit with that talent for his tenure.
They don't
Notre
have
Dame.
Any talent right now. They have nothing in their secondary.
I understand, but they still got some 4-stars and 3-stars in the front seven, right?
Yeah.
I presume. I haven't looked.
It's the secondary that's the problem.
No, I understand that.
Do you? You kind of just said something that made me think that you don't understand that.
I just said, is the problem the coordinator or the decimation of the secondary?
Love it, folks. Don't you just love it?
Those are two issues. And we're going to find out.
We've been married for 37 years.
We got to get to a break. Back on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050, WTKA, the ticket. Okay, let's go to the phones real quick as we're live here inside the MDN studios. Quick update, Ira, on the auction.
We're at $400 on the bid, Sam. $400, and we are going to take the bids until 2 p.m. All after right. 10 a.m., it's going to only be via email and Twitter.
Right.
But you can email us, studio@wtk.com. You can tweet us at Michigan Insider or SamWeb77. The bidding right now for a pair of tickets and a pair of Go Labatt Blue Victor's Lounge passes for Saturday is at $400. The seats are in Section 40, Row 50.
Seats 6 and 7. There you go, folks. So keep those bids coming in. Proceeds go to the American Cancer Society, making strides against breast cancer. And look at it this way. Every dollar you donate, or in this case, bid in the auction, is triple. Triple the value based on the matches that are coming from generous donors like Suburban Chevrolet Cadillac in Ann Arbor. And I want to encourage those of you who aren't bidding on the tickets to go to WTK.com, click our 60 Mile Stride tab, and donate directly to the 60 Mile Stride. Our boss, Matt Spaulding, walking from downtown Flint to Ann Arbor in one day to raise money for Making Strides Against Breast Cancer. Let's make it happen, folks. Spread the word as well. Let's go to the phones, talk to Don in Ann Arbor. Don, what's up?
Morning, gentlemen. I'm curious if the collected experts have seen enough football yet out of Don Brown's defense to form an opinion about how we're going to do against Ohio State, or is it just simply far too early in the season to have a judgment yet?
I think they'll do better. They'll be more diverse. They'll have a lot more two high formations that are less vulnerable to the outside runs that killed Michigan last year. And they'll just do better because they'll have – I mean, knock on wood, they'll have their nose tackles healthy for this game. So, I mean, the things I've seen so far, I think, are very positive once you get rid of the busts that hopefully will be less of a problem going forward. But it's just hard to tell because Michigan hasn't really faced a running spread yet. So, you know, Colorado had some of that in their offense, but they didn't really use much of it against Michigan. So they haven't really faced the power spread that Urban Meyer runs yet. So a little difficult to tell.
I think you'll know what our prognosis is after the Indiana game, right?
I mean,
at least you'll have some. Last year we couldn't defend Indiana at all. I mean, if we can show some pulse this year against Indiana, I think we got a shot against
it'll be a good test. They have a good running offense and a good offensive line, but still that Richard Lagow kid who's their quarterback now is not mobile. So that, like, adding a mobile quarterback to that really takes the difficulty level up a notch against his offenses.
That's
so,
a fair point.
And also, we're just not going to see what Michigan wants to do against Ohio State probably the whole year.
All right, so guys, you know, I wanted to get your takes on some other teams. So there's a little bit of a, I'll call it, debate before we went to the break about Notre Dame. I think Brian Kelly scapegoated everyone. He scapegoated Brian Van Gorder.
His quarterback?
The entire starting 22, offensively and defensively, all 22 spots are up for grabs as if it was everyone else's fault and he had nothing to do.
Well, what do you expect from Brian Kelly?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it puts the bullseye squarely on his back now.
Oh, yeah. Good.
You can only probably pass the buck so much, right?
Well, I mean, the thing is, you go look at his career at Notre Dame. He has the 1 year where he gets the national championship game and gets trucked. And then it's like 8-5, 8-5, 8-5, 9-3. I think he had one 10-3 season.
Well,
there.
Sam, we talked about this. It's a 3 year cycle. Eight wins. Then they had 12-1. And then it was 8-9 or 8-7, whatever it was, and then 10. And now you're into that next wave of 3 year cycle. Well, Notre Dame put up with a 3 year cycle where two sub 10 win seasons and then a 10 plus win season, two sub then 10 plus. Well, they put up with that and him get to a ninth year to actually get to a third year of 10 plus wins.
Well, wait, I don't know about eight wins this year. They're going to lose to, I mean, they've lost three. They're going to lose to Stanford. They'll probably lose to Miami. They got Virginia Tech, who's problematic. They got USC, who's not very good.
They got Miami.
They have all three Miami academies. And with that defense,
I mean,
you're looking at triple option, and their defensive line isn't as bad as their
The triple option really involves defensive backs.
I'll be surprised if they win more than six games.
Yeah, and they could very easily not go to a bowl this year.
Yeah,
and would that pull the trigger on Brian Kelly? That's an interesting question. It's not an interesting question about Kirk Ferentz, but it's an interesting question about Brian Kelly.
You know, I think he probably has a I don't think this seat is hot enough because he didn't come into the season with a lot of people saying, hey, this is make or break for Brian Kelly. I think this is a season that can put him there.
Well, I mean, this wasn't a season where if he goes 8-4, he's going to get fired. But if he goes 5-7,
which
he's going to get hot.
Quite plausible, 5-7.
5-7 with a loss to an Army?
Yeah.
Could happen.
They've given up 124 points to Texas, Duke, and MSU. MSU has proven that isn't a juggernaut offense.
Nope.
Duke is Duke. But
Cut's a good coach.
Yeah, yeah. So still, that's 41 points a game against teams.
Really too bad he turned Michigan down.
Yeah, it's. I think Notre Dame is in, like I said before, coming into this season, it wasn't like Les Miles coming off of last year. He was lucky to even be the coach heading into this year. So you felt like anything that happened negative during the season would affect his, I mean, When they lost to Wisconsin, I was like, "Oh, dude, this is it." There's no way they were gonna go to the SEC and do anything of note.
Yeah.
This is it. It's over. I didn't expect them to do it during the season, but I figured it was over.
Brian Kelly,
I think he has this year where anything can happen, and then next year. And the problem is gonna be when you're in a coach in that position, who can you hire? Who can you hire to come in and be your DC at that point?
Someone better than Brian Van Gorder.
Monte
Why
Kiffin?
Are you so down on Brian Van Gorder?
He's got all that. He's had all that talent.
They don't have any talent. They don't have any talent. All the talent in their secondary left.
When they played Clemson last year, you thought the defense was the biggest issue?
They actually played fine against Clemson last year, but I think overall, I don't think they played particularly well.
That to me is the, you look at the litmus test for their defense last year, that was the...
Wait, one game?
Well, I mean, you're playing against arguably the best offense in... Or certainly one of the best offenses in college football, with arguably the best player on it.
By adjusted yards per play, I had Notre Dame's defense as 48th last year. Do you think that's an acceptable rank,
man?
I don't think that type of recruiting.
I don't think Van Gorder was the issue. Now look, anyone can coach Jalen Smith. I'm with you, but if you look at this year, you know you got to score 60 points. You got Deshaun Kizer. Score 60 points in a game if you have to with what you got going on defensively. I didn't understand their offensive approach against Michigan State. It was ridiculous. It was coaching malpractice, what they did.
People do that. They look at that secondary and they're just like, we're gonna run a regular-ass football game.
Right at Malik McDowell.
It just
right into this. And that's not Brian Van Gorder. No, that's the head
but,
man.
But Ohio
that's
State true. Did the same thing last year where they're like, yeah, we're going to run
I
this
I think
front.
They threw that game. They threw it. I mean, we got to get out of here, folks.
that's like something I would say.
Coming up next is Inside the Huddle with Michael Spath. Ticket auction still going on. Bid up to $400. Remember, all proceeds go to Making Strides Against Breast Cancer. The value of your bid will be tripled today. And don't forget to go to WTK.com. Click on that 60-mile stride tab. Make your donation there. Again, your donations will be matched today, courtesy of Suburban Chevrolet Cadillac in Ann Arbor. I'm headed off to Bullion Sales. I'm going to be out there from noon until 2. Don't forget their Drive Green event. You go out there, buy a tractor, buy a utility vehicle. They, too, will donate to the 60-mile stride. Thanks for listening. Up next is Inside the Huddle with Michael Spath here on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. The Ticket, the official voice of University of Michigan Sports, Ann Arbor. Okay.
Better than us!